Well, this is going to be a time of question and answer where anyone's welcome to ask a question or make a comment. If you're on Pal Talk, you can raise your hand and Bob will relay your question or comment. And just one thing, everyone's welcome. And I think that most people here are in agreement, you know, with May 21. But sometimes, like there was an individual yesterday, came an hour and a half, and he just wanted to make a statement, and that's fine. But you have to follow our rules. You have to follow our rules if anyone's here to do that kind of thing. And you can come up, and you'll be given an opportunity. But you can't just grab the floor and keep the floor and say, well, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to tell you what I think. Now, keep in mind, you know, we're just a group of individuals, but we're renting this hall. And just like someone would rent a house, if an individual goes into your house and doesn't follow the rules of your house, you can call the police. And there just happens to be a police station next door. So if an individual does want to come up here, you're welcome. You'll be given permission. You're allowed to speak, but follow our rules. Okay? And, you know, looking around, all I see is shirts, so I think you're okay. It's interesting. Sometimes you can't win in the world. Or when you're trying to bring the gospel to the world. Let me put it that way. You know, all the people who want you to sign over your house and your deeds and give them your bank account. And, okay, now that's a certain group of people in the world. They won't believe unless you do that. But when an individual who believes May 21 is Judgment Day spends their life savings, then it's all over the newspapers, it's all over everywhere. You know what he did? He spent his life savings to get this message out. So if you listen to the people who want you to turn everything over, and then they say they'll believe, then you have tons of other people who are just going to think you're crazy because you did that. And it's much like what the Bible tells us of John the Baptist. They thought he was out of his mind because he ate locusts and wild honey and ministering in the wilderness. And then when Jesus came, he didn't eat locusts and wild honey. He sat down with publicans and can't win. You can't win, no matter what you say. If people are of a mind to be contrary, and that is the natural mind when it comes to God, when it comes to His Word, it's contrary. Article in the Daily News, Philadelphia Daily News, came out today. Got plans Saturday? Rapture preview, page 3. So the person was here Sunday. You may see your photo in there. check it out. You know, God's really been using the media to share this information and to bring the message to the world. And even though in some ways, you know, they're also sharing the information that the churches are putting out, that no man knows the day or hour. So if it seems like more and more people are telling you no man knows the day or hour, they probably are. And these are people that maybe have no real association with a church, but they're hearing it on Channel 6, they're hearing it on Channel 17, and every report brings that up. That's normally how they conclude. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. And so many people are hearing that verse, of course, without explanation and without realizing that it's a big Bible and there's a lot of other verses you have to look at. You can't just quickly go and grab a verse. And so that part, you know, God will use that too, but that part is a little, that message of the church is getting out there too. Speaking of that, let's go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth. Sounds familiar. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. That sounds very familiar. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. In one place it's neither the angels nor the Son but the Father. So here again, very similar language, that no one can know the Son. Does anyone in the world know the Lord Jesus Christ of themselves? They can know about him, right? They know he was a historical figure. They deny that, but they still heard about him. They can have that information. But does that mean they know him? No. No, because it's a very different kind of knowing. Like, for instance, when Jesus brings an end on May 21, meaning of that day and hour knoweth no man, because it's not coming from man. It's the Father knows, and Christ is one with the Father, so of course he knows. God knows, and here it says, knoweth no man, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. There's the whole methodology, the whole way that people can know. The Son may reveal the Father. That is, in salvation, we can know, even though of ourselves we can't know. But if God is pleased, he can reveal that to us. And it's similar to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of But God, in this case, didn't leave it hanging, like he left it hanging in Matthew 24, verse 36, like he left it hanging in Mark 13, 32. He fills it out. And he goes on to explain in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we... Are you going to be wrong if you do that with many other verses in the Bible? 100% of the time you're going to be wrong. Because if you go and read the verse like in 2 Peter chapter 3, in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now just read that verse. Don't look anywhere else. Just right there. What is it saying? That God isn't willing that any man perish. That's the will of God, that no man perish. And also, that everyone, all, look, it says all, everyone come to repentance. Very clear, very direct, very plain, very wrong. Right? Very wrong, on both points. God, if the Almighty, all-powerful God of the Bible wills something, we can be sure it's going to happen. And if he wills that that none should perish, then none would perish. And when the churches say, well, he's not willing that any should perish, but then they admit, but yeah, billions are going to perish, then they're basically saying he's a very weak and ineffective God who doesn't have the power to save those that he's willing to save, but it's the strength of man's will that wins out. And that's not the God we read about in the Bible. And also, that all men come to repentance. Well, again, we know all men do not come to repentance. Most people do not come to repentance. And that's why we have to, we can't. You just can't look at a single verse and come to a conclusion, because you'll be wrong. That's how God wrote the Bible. And that's the problem with all the churches and they're teaching their congregation. It's very plain. Look, here it is, Matthew 24:36. Well, look at the rest. Look at the rest. And and a lot of times when you start to explain to someone, no, they don't have time to hear it. Well, that's just not being honest with the Bible. That's not being faithful to how we come to truth. Okay, if anyone has anything, you're welcome to come up. Please use the microphone so people on Pal Talk can hear you. Yeah, please come up.
Hi, Chris Freita. Would you please comment on Proverbs 21, verse 16?
Proverbs 21.
Thank you.
16 says, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Well, one part's pretty simple. The way of understanding would be Jesus. He's the Word. He's the way, the life, the truth. And he's that narrow way. We have to stay in Christ. We have to follow his word because he identifies completely with the Bible. We don't want to go left. We don't want to go right. We don't want our own ideas. We don't want anyone's ideas but what the Bible says. Follow that word and we're safe. And we're going the right way. No matter what anybody else says or no matter what anyone else teaches, as long as we know this is what the Bible's saying, then that is always the best and the safest, and of course that's the way to heaven. But the one who wanders out of the way, like it says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every Isaiah 53 verse 6, I think is that verse. Says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's the problem with mankind. And people think this is fine. There's many ways to heaven. You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Hindu. You can just be a good person. You can, as long as you have a God of your understanding, you will get to heaven, everyone's sure, many people are sure. And that's not the Bible's teaching. The Bible says there's one way. There's none other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's only one. And that's one reason why the world it dislikes the true gospel of the Bible. It's not very inclusive. The Hindu religion, which allows for every god. There, you can have 1,000 gods, 2,000 gods. Christ could be one of those gods. I remember being in India and when talking with some people, and you tell them about Christ, and they would, oh yes, he's God. But so's the cow that's coming down. One of them gored me one time, by the way. I wasn't paying attention. I was handing out tracts. There was a naked man walking around. You know, when you're with the gospel, the true gospel, sometimes some strange things can happen. And this, the spiritual forces are at work. And the cow got me. And, you know, the Hindus, they let the cows wander the streets. They actually, I think, hire Muslims to try and control them a bit because they're holy. And so that's fine. You can have anything you want to be God, but the God of the Bible, it's very exclusive. It's not inclusive, which is, you know, the way of our modern world. It's very exclusive only through Christ. And that verse is telling us, though, that if we divert from the path that God has laid out in the Bible, then we remain in the congregation of the dead because we're still spiritually dead. And God's never given us life. We have to abide in the doctrine of Christ. And if we don't, then... and even if we've clung clinging to the true gospel for a while, if at the last we fall away, we remain in the congregation of the dead because we were never born again. Thank you. Yeah, Bob?
Question on Pow Talk is three verses. 2 Kings 2, 11 and 12.
2 Kings 2.
And then Revelation, then Acts.
You know, people are aware they never get away with this with Mr. Camping on the open forum, so they they come here sometimes. 2 Kings 2, verse 11. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. Now, the interesting thing about this, and I don't understand it, but we do know that Elijah was translated. He never died. And like Enoch, after 365 years, Enoch was translated, which points to the year of the Lord, right? The acceptable year of the Lord, which is over on May 21. And then God's people will be translated. And Elijah also was translated. And that is also pointing to the rapture in one way. And you know what? When you read the account, it seems like everybody knew. All the sons of the prophet knew. Let's see, where's the verse? In verse 3 of 2 Kings 2. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that Jehovah will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace." It was common knowledge. Not just them, they go on. They came to Jericho. Verse 5, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that Jehovah will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. I know it. Hold ye your peace." The sons of the prophets knew that Elijah was going to be taken up. And I don't know, you know, how to relate this whole account to what's going to happen in a couple of days, but we at least can see that it definitely was a translation or a rapture of a child of God who never died, and other people knew all about it. Elisha knew, sons of the prophets in one city knew, sons of the prophets of another city knew. How do they know? Well, God must have revealed it. How do we know? God's revealed it. We don't have any wisdom. Anybody here know what's going to happen tomorrow? We have no clue. No clue. Do we know what's going to happen on May 21? Yes. Not because of us, but because God has simply revealed it. And so we can get that from this.
Okay, the other verse is, well, the comment is after these verses are read is that these verses seem to point to the unsaved being able to literally see the elect being caught up on that day. And the other verse is Revelation 11, 12,
okay,
and
Revelation.
Acts 1, 9.
Excuse me. Well, you know, there, it's a historical parable. That is, it actually happened that Elijah was taken up. Well, we can't relate everything to that because Elisha remained, and he was a child of God. And the sons of the prophets, though, they didn't listen to Elisha, and they wanted to go search, and so it could be that they weren't saved. But I don't know if we can use that account. In Revelation 11 and verse 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. There is the rapture of the people of God on May 21. And mentions an earthquake because that's God's way of opening up the ground. I mean, that just makes sense. Cause the ground to divide, bring up the bodies, and at the same time, all over the earth, you shake terribly the earth, is the language of Isaiah 2. And when God does that, what else does He shake? The confidence and arrogance of mankind that trusted not God and not the Bible, but trusted the world under their feet. The earth. I mean, it's amazing how many people just literally believe it's an impossibility for this world to end. They really believe it's impossible. And we can understand because colleges and all sorts of schools today, they teach that the world's been around for billions of years. And if you take good care of it, if you take really good care of it, it can be here for millions more. Billions and millions. And if you try to pin them down, when did it all begin? Well, we don't know. We don't know. They just keep going further and further back. It used to be millions. Then it was hundreds of millions. Now I'm hearing more billions. Well, keep going. Trillions, if you like. But at some point, you have to stop. At some point, you have to say there was a beginning. But they can't explain that. They build this huge structure. This whole big teaching of evolution and everything that's derived from it. And they don't even have a foundation point. They don't even have a starting point that they can build upon. Oh, we're working on that. We'll figure that out. And you know, and as a result of that teaching, basically what they're saying is the world's eternal. The earth is eternal. It's always been here. And since it's always been here and it's going to be here for millions of years more, they're basically saying it's eternal into the future also. And it's going to end on May 21. You know, you're noticing more if you hear some of the interviews or read some of the articles. This Saturday, the closer it gets, the more ridiculous it appears. Because, what? This world, this, look at it. Look at the sky. You see some clouds today, but otherwise it's pretty stable. Look at the earth. The very solid ground under our feet. And this Saturday it's going to happen? Yeah, right. Well, yes, it is right. Yes, it is right. Because God's going to do it. He's guaranteed it. He's guaranteed it. It's going to happen. And when it happens, excuse me, when it happens, then God's people will be noticed when they're taken up. And that's called the rapture. The word rapture isn't in the Bible. It's much simpler than that. Come up. Come up. It's the taking up of the elect people of God. And then God's people, or the enemies, which would be all the unsaved, see it. Okay, anyone else? Yes.
Thank you for taking my question. Don't cut me off. No.
I did tell you about the police station.
The first chapter of Ephesians.
Ephesians?
Okay. Ephesians 1?
Yeah. My question has to do with assurance of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking through this and reading this and seeing things that just seem to say to me that we can have assurance of salvation, and I want your
help
on this.
That we can?
Uh-huh.
Yes, we can.
Okay. In chapter 1, verse 6, it says that he hath made us accepted in the brethren. In verse 11, it says we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13 says ye were sealed. In chapter 2, you hath he quickened. And in chapter 2, verse 19, says now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And I was getting the impression, maybe I'm wrong, but I've been getting the impression from Brother Camping that we really can't be sure of our salvation.
No,
so I'm confused with that.
Yeah, I don't think that's what he's saying at all. I mean, for instance, when people say, are you a child of God? He says, yes, I am.
Yes,
so
that's
that would
what
contradict
confuses
it
me
right
even
there.
More, right.
No, he's not saying that. But the problem is that there is over or around 2 billion professing Christians in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of them, if not, you know, the vast majority would say, yes, I'm a child of God, yes, I'm going to heaven. But right now, since God is judging the churches and commanding people to come out of the congregations, and by the way, anybody in a church only has until the rest of this week to obey that. If you're there by the end of the week, it's guaranteed you're not going to heaven. And so since so many people would have false assurance, we just want to be careful. And here's the reason why. In Jeremiah 17, it says in verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the problem. That's the problem. That's how it is possible for 2 billion people to think and truly believe it. I'm a child of God. I'm going to heaven. But they've been lied to. They're believing, many of them, false gospels. And they've also been lied to by themselves. You know, Satan's a liar and the father of it. And he's in the churches and congregations. And he also has the added benefit of people who are liable to be deceived. Mm-hmm. And actually, the man's heart is deceitful above all. And so looking at that, now the gospel comes to us. And yet, now let's talk about an elect, a child of God. And that person hears the gospel, and God begins to make changes in their life, and they're getting that on. They have the Spirit of God, so they have an ongoing desire to do the will of God more and more. But since they do have God's Spirit, they're also going to listen to God when he says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. So they're going to be much more circumspect,
right,
and honest with themselves, and they're going to be aware of the danger of their own heart if they're not saved, and so be much more careful. And they're not going to be prone to just quickly jump and say, I'm a child of God, even though there's evidence, because they don't want to make a horrible mistake of thinking that and it not being true. And so here's what the believer does is he goes to God in Romans chapter 8, and or we go to the Bible, Romans 8 and verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit, which is God, bears witness. When you bear witness, you testify, you speak. And so God's Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we're a true child of God. We're a believer. And how would God do that? Through reading the Bible, through, you know, faith comes by hearing. And the more we read the Bible, it could be the more we're becoming convinced and the more we're doing things God's way. And the way that someone should pray is seen in Psalm 35 and verse 3, which actually the whole verse now is pretty good, since there is persecution. It's coming a little bit heavier as we're getting closer. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And this is a prayer we can make to God directly. Lord, you say to my soul, you testify to my spirit, you convince me. That's the prayer. You do it so I won't make that mistake and err and think that I'm saved and I'm not. And so like anything else, you know, we go to God, oh Lord, grant me repentance. God gives repentance. Give me faith. Give me any spiritual thing. And assurance is a spiritual thing. God, give it to me, if you will. And so there could be some who are true children of God, and they won't have absolute assurance. They're going to have maybe some doubts. And that's just how God's arranged it. Doesn't mean they're not saved, but that's how He's worked it out. Okay, anyone else? Yes.
Hello. I try to get through to Brother Camping, but to ask this question, but it's been busy and busy. Question is concerning Luke 21 verses 29 to 33.
Luke 21.
And specifically, my question is specifically with verse 32, because it's referring to this current generation.
Mm-hmm.
And from verse 25, it talks about the second coming. And I guess my question is, if it's referring to national Israel and the current generation that sees national Israel and alluding to the second coming.
Okay. Luke 21:29 speaks of the fig tree. Verse 31, so likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh in hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And the answer has to be that God's referring to the generation of evil, which is the generation of man since the fall. And in that's the only generation that hasn't passed away from when this statement was made up until the time of the end, which we're at. But thank you for that question. And anyone else have anything?
The question is if you could talk about Proverbs 1, 27 to 29.
Proverbs 1. Well, yeah, this has everything to do with right now. In verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. The wise will understand, is a statement that God makes in Daniel 12:10. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, is something God says in Luke 21. A wise man's heart discerneth time and judgment, Ecclesiastes 8:5-6, or one of those verses. And today has everything to do with wisdom. the five wise virgins go in when the bridegroom cometh. The five foolish are left out. And so here it has to do with wisdom crying out, that is making a proclamation, and that's what all the judgment day, May 21, is. And crying in the chief place of concourse. It's all over. It's all over the world. It's hard to avoid. And, you know, I pity those people that are trying to get away from it. Where are you going to go? I feel sorry for children or people that are in families. And the children want to run. They want to get away. But where are you going to run to? When you go down 95 and it's on a sign, and when you go downtown and there's people handing out tracts all over. And it's not just us. I mean, if you go downtown, Center City, and stand by the gallery, over the last couple of weeks I met three people I'd never seen before. And they're out there, and Family Radio, one guy had a hat and he wrote May 21 Judgment with some kind of marker. They don't have, you know, all the uniform stuff we have, all the gear. I wanted to give him something, but it's all over. My son was sitting in class, and he looked over, and the girl next to him had a Judgment Day pen. Where'd you get that? Someone gave it to me at the train station. You can't get away. It's all over the news, daily news, headline. It's all over the internet. Where are you going to go? And how do you avoid a date on the calendar? A lot of people, they want their... no longer to be 31 days in May. They want there to be 30 days in May, and you go from May 20th to May 22nd. But you can't. You can't go over May 21. You have to live it. You have to experience it. It's going to come in 4 days, and nobody can avoid that. And so it's time for people to face it, to face the reality that that's the day. And the problem is that God is, He's opened the chief, as He says here, the chief place of concourse. His words are all over the earth as the waters cover the sea. Okay, well, it says in verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And that's just, ye fools, how long will ye love foolishness? And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Those are two very important statements. I'll pour out my spirit. We're living at the time of the second outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I will make known my words. Because now's the time when God has opened up the scriptures. It's like when Joseph told his brethren, come near and take a good look at my face. And he made himself known to his brethren, not to the Egyptians, he sent them out, but to his brethren. And then what did he tell them? He said, he told them all about the famine, which typifies the great tribulation. It's already been 2 years, and now I want you, he'll tell them later, I want you to bring my father and your whole family into Egypt. Because there's 5 years more. There's three dates. There are 2 years earlier, would have been 1879. That was 1877. Five more years, 1872. Three dates that mapped out that seven-year famine. And what has God told us? What has He made known to us? Three dates. 1988, 1994, 2011. So God is doing exactly that. He's making it known. It's the wisdom, the secret wisdom that has always been in the Bible that God now is opening and revealing. And He says, turn you at my reproof. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof. So the scripture is what reproves us. And so if you look at that word reproof, look at verse 25. But you've set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. And then in verse
30, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. The word of God, the word of God, the word of God. The trumpet is sounding. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. May 21, 2011 is Judgment Day. And how are people receiving it? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Anybody out there, you might find a believer, but anybody come up to you and give you a big hug and say, thank you for standing on this corner, and thank you for wearing that shirt and holding that sign over your head and giving out these tracts. Well, if you find a true believer. Or are we getting the thank yous? Now's not the time. Nobody should look for that, you know. He's keeping us on even ground. You know, we're not getting too elevated, or we're not thinking too highly, that which we could, thinking we're going to heaven by the end of the week. You know, that's some pretty incredible information that we could be floating around on cloud nine. But he keeps us grounded with with those around us, right, and our families and our neighborhoods. And he helps to remind us we're still on planet Earth, and we still have to live here for a little while longer. But the reaction of man, the natural reaction, is rejection. And the word despise and reject in the New Testament is the same Greek word. If you reject the word of God, you've despised the word of God. If you dismiss this information, you reject it. You despise the one who sent it. You despise the messenger, yeah, but you also despise the one who sent the messenger. And that's what God's talking about here. And so verse 26, after it says that, in verse 25, you have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. So it's turned around. The world laughs now, mocks now. God is saying, okay, but I'm going to laugh, I'm going to mock shortly. And the saying, he who laughs last, laughs best, that's scriptural, I suppose, because God's going to get the last laugh, in the sense that he's telling people, and they're just writing it off, they're not listening to him. That's what all the mocking is when you boil it down. They're not listening. And so on that day, when people come to him and cry out, he will not listen. And in that sense, he'll be laughing. He'll not listen to anyone's cry once the judgment has begun. And so it says in verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, and distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Jehovah.
Can you please explain why the events surrounding Elijah and the 450 prophets is a picture of Judgment Day?
Well, you know, Mr. Camping is going into that study, and it's complex. But we do know this, that there was a drought or a famine in Israel for 3.5 years. And we get that information from the New Testament. And that 3.5 years but 42 months? And if we go to Revelation chapter 11, we read of the Great Tribulation, which we're almost through. See, the Great Tribulation is 8,400 days. We are on day 8,396. Four more days. And it'll be the 8400th day, the full 23-year period, from May 2188 to May 21, 2011. And so we're almost through. And this is typified as 42 months in Revelation 11, verse 2. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months, or 3.5 years. And that language of the Gentiles treading in the holy place, if we read Luke 21, it says in verse 24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And it goes on to describe May 21, immediately after the tribulation, the moon, the sun is dark and the moon does not give its light. So we know the times of the Gentiles is the entire period of the Great Tribulation, and it's typified by 3.5 years. And that's why Mr. Camping is emphasizing at the end of that 3.5 period of the drought, when there was the contest between the prophets of Baal and Elijah, you know, the lone child of God, and look at those numbers. Wow, look at those numbers. 450-1. Definitely the 450 were right. This is America. Right? We vote on everything. And the majority wins, and the majority is always right. No, it's not. No, it's not. The majority, not in the Bible, 450 prophets of Baal weren't right. They didn't have the right God. The one individual in that case was right, because he was coming with the truth of the Word of God, and so the contest was set. And the contest is set today. As we're approaching the end of the Great Tribulation, or the 3.5 years, as it's typified, we're coming to the end of this period, and the contest is May 21, God says, will be Judgment Day. And people say May 22nd will be Judgment Day. And they guarantee it. And so God, you know, I really believe God works through the ministry of Family Radio and gives them a lot of wisdom. And when they put that little yellow circle, the Bible guarantees it, on shirts and billboards and things, that's because God's matching the world. Okay, in your pride, in your arrogance, in the fact that you think you know it all. As God says in the book of Job, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth, if thou knowest it all? The fact that man thinks he knows it all, and he can guarantee without question, and I don't know how many people I've run into that make this guarantee, that May 22nd will come, and they're going completely contrary to the Word of God, the only one who knows for the end from the beginning, and he is guaranteeing May 21 is it. That's the contest that we see with Elijah on Mount Carmel. And we're going to see, I mean, we can tell people that. Why are so people upset now? Why are so many people getting their shots in now? You know, think about it. Why not wait? Why don't you wait till next week? You can call us all you want, right? When you're so sure it's not going to happen. I mean, you can laugh all summer. And then you can laugh next year. You can laugh a decade from now. You can laugh and laugh. Why is everyone getting it in now? Well, the reason is spiritual forces are at work. And there's still a lot of people being saved. And so things are getting stirred up to come against the people of God who are continuing to carry this word. And you got to do it now. You got to do it now, because there is no opportunity next week. Next week is not the time to laugh at the people of God. next week we just read is God's time to laugh. And that's why so many shots. So, you know, it's all buckle up for the next few days. And then we'll see. Okay, we're going to take a break. Close with a word of prayer, and we'll take a break for 10 minutes. Really? 10 minutes. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Bible, and we thank you for bringing us to it. And Father, what have we done? Nothing. What do we deserve? Nothing. We have fought, maybe, and kicked tooth and nail against going your way. And we know we're no ones. And yet, Father, you have blessed us and helped us and given us grace. And despite our sins, you continue to bring us through and to carry us in your bosom and to lead us safely on. And Father, here we are now at the point of eternity. And Father, we do pray that you would help us to trust you, that you would cause us to trust you and help us to cling to you and to just continue to follow. And we ask for wisdom. We ask for strength to continue to walk after you. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.